This is a work session on the surface mining overlay, 9 o'clock on Wednesday, 15 January.
I can't, it's not scrolling the thing, so I don't know. I'll just get up and do it. Try.
Are we ready to start?
Right. Yes. I think we are. Okay. Welcome, everybody. Today we're going to have my presentation on the overlay of proposed aggregate. I have a number here. Let's take this opportunity and go around and introduce ourselves. We'll start with our administrator.
Mark McCauley, County Administrator.
Oliver Ojako, Clark County Community Planning Director.
Maybe you're going to need some help there.
Mike Mayrie, Community Planning.
And I'll go around here.
David Medore, County Commissioner.
Tom Yelke, County Commissioner.
Steve Stewart, County Commissioner.
Introduce yourself.
Chris Horn, Deputy Prosecutor.
Marcel Swanson, I do policy work.
I'm not sure these are the workers.
I'm not sure. Mr. Landers,
Richard Huron, Friends of the East Fork, Lewis River.
Mark Wilson, Clark County Risk Manager.
Eric Ellis, Clark County Public Information.
Bert Barnett, Short Office.
What was that?
Short Office, I'm Bert Barnett.
Jill McClain, Livingston Mountain.
Cam Griffin, Livingston Mountain. Tyler McCullough, Friends of Livingston Mountain.
David Mann, Dave Barnett, here with Livingston Mountain.
John Lewis, and Livingston Mountain.
Great. Well, welcome, everybody. And at this point, I turn it over to our staff. Oliver, are you leading off?
I am. And Mike Mayrie from our staff will be summarizing. I don't think it's working.
It's on.
There you go.
Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Yep. Hello. Good. More.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good. Good morning, commissioners. This will be a presentation. I will make very quick comment remarks, and then I'll turn it over to Mike Mayrie, who will summarize the recommendations of the Planning Commission. And we may start with the map and then get into conversation or discussion on the policies and the development regulations. And briefly, we started this process with the information that came to us from the state on where aggregate resources are, not only in Clark County but in other counties. We used that information and had a task force working with us to use that information to update our current surface mining overlay districts. And throughout that process, I will say that the Planning Commission, the task force, diligently really looked at that information to the best that they can, utilize that information to identify where aggregate resources are. Mike will not really go into details of where we started, but at least where we ended up. If you want to go back to where we started, we can provide that information and have that conversation with the board. What I wanted to say up front is that we listened to concerned citizens. I think it's safe to say that those that live near mining and experience noise, blasting, and so forth had concern that where we applied overlay going forward will probably continue that type of issues for them. And when we get into the policies and the development regulations, you will see how both the Planning Commission, the task force, the representative of the mining industries, and the representative of the Livingston Mountain folks how the Planning Commission took all those four or five positions on a given issue and came to a compromise in terms of their recommendation to the board. The recommendation wasn't all that unanimous. There were 3-4-4-1. We have two Planning Commission members that recused themselves for a variety of reasons, so we were working with five Planning Commission members. So with that, I will turn it over to Mike. He will walk the board through the map and the rationale for why the board, the Planning Commission, made the recommendation that they made to the board, and then we'll get into the policy sections. Mike?
Okay, thank you, Oliver. Good morning, commissioners. I'd like to first thank the Planning Commission for all their hard work getting to this point, and particularly Commission Chairman Ron Barka, who did an excellent job of running these long and difficult hearings, and also recommending to staff how to present the material to make it easier to digest and act upon. As you recall from our previous work sessions, in getting to a draft surface mining overlay map, the task force looked at the Department of Geology map, decided to eliminate the hypothetical and speculative areas, focused just on the identified aggregate areas, and then further winnowed it down by looking at each blob or polygon and eliminating areas that were clearly inaccessible or too steep or had other problems that would basically disqualify them from being economically mineable. They ended up with essentially this map, which came forward to the Planning Commission as a Mineral Lands Task Force recommendation. And the Planning Commission had us number each of those areas, and so that they could discuss them and act upon them individually. So this is a little bit difficult to see, but this is the one that the Planning Commission ended up with. Not, am I right? Yeah.
Yes. That's the one that ended up with.
I'll make sure I got the right. Yeah, this is the Planning Commission recommendation. Just going through the map numbers on your first page here. So number one, this had been a much larger area. This was number one was proposed by the property owner. It wasn't because there was identified resource on that property, but they have had small amounts of mining activity over many, many years on this property. They just gave us a long list of parcel numbers, and in the end we went back to them and said, for these site-specific requests, we want some evidence that you have good quality rock and show us where it is. So they came back with with some test results, and we were able to make a recommendation to narrow it down to areas that clearly had the resource. That was the Planning Commission's recommendation on that one. For these two blocks, there was identified resource. It was part of a much larger area. We had narrowed it down because of access and slope issues. So these were the two remaining. There was really no testimony on these two or any clear reason to remove them, so the Planning Commission recommended that since they met the criteria, they stay. There was a small, I think number four is off the map now, but there was a small expansion around the Tebow pit to the south of it that was proposed by some of the property owners there. There was testimony in opposition to that and evidence that there had been some problems with infiltration into the groundwater. Basically, since it was found not to be a proven resource and there had been adverse impacts from the existing pit, Planning Commission recommended removing that one from the map. Courtney Pitt is up in the Yakult area, There was a tiny expansion to the north of the existing surface mining overlay that was recommended for approval. Another small area up in North County has never been mined. It meets the criteria. There was no testimony either for or against it, so they recommended it stay on the map at this point. This is Chilachi Rock, an existing active pit in the Chilachi Prairie area. This would expand it slightly, expand at least the surface mining overlay for that property slightly. Am I moving along at about the right pace here? Any questions so far? Okay. Yakult Mountain, there is an existing 100 plus acre surface mining overlay. The resource actually extends far beyond that, almost basically to the East Fork of the Lewis River. Maybe you could see how big the blob is over here. It's kind of it's a fairly large area. There was quite a bit of testimony on that. We looked at the 40% plus slopes out there. We looked at the maps of endangered species on many of the tributaries leading up to that area, and also listened to a lot of testimony about restoration of the East Fork of the Lewis River. Essentially, given all those characteristics, the decision by the Planning Commission was that this area is more suitable for forestry, the existing forest use essentially, than it would be for mining.
Is that the current zoning?
Yes. And particularly given the topography and road access and environmental impacts that would be likely. Number nine is what would have been right in here. It was a site-specific request from a small property owner. No real strong indications of identified resource, and they didn't provide any backup material, any evidence that they had resource of any particular volume or quality, so they didn't meet the criteria. Planning Commission recommended removing that area. Bell's Mountain is one that I pointed to wrongly before, but it's this very large area. It's largely owned by one property owner. I think there is some DNR land as well. That property owner came in and testified against, he had just purchased it and was cleaning it up, and testified against having surface mining overlay. We're looking right in here.
On that one, it's that big.
It's that big blob right there. And essentially, there's no access to this other than through Berry Road. And if you've ever been up Berry Road, it's kind of like a one-lane curvy trail. And we had some. You'll find in your packet a traffic analysis of that roadway that demonstrates that it's clearly not suitable for gravel trucks and trailers.
Do you have all this? I mean, you're walking us through it. Do you have it all documented for each one of these, for 1 through 15? Like, you know, here were the criteria that were used in removing or keeping?
It would be basically the Planning Commission record. This is a very quick summary of it.
Understood. I just, in
because
making our record and, you know, and creating a good paper trail for it, just like any of the GMA process, you know, it's all about showing your work. And so I'd love to see for every one of these, well, before we get to hearing, for every one of these, here's the area, here are the criteria that were used in analysis, whether it be infrastructure, steep slope, environmental, or otherwise, and then how did they come out on that? Just so that we have that when we want to hear it.
Okay.
We'll see what we can do.
Cool. Yep. Thank you. Yes.
So there was some discussion of Bell's Mountain, and the property owner was against it. Access is really an issue here, and also it's at the headwaters of both Salmon Creek and the East Fork of the Lewis River. There was strong concerns about environmental impacts downstream. And given those combination of factors, the Planning Commission recommended removing that from the surface mining overlay. I think I need to move the map down. The next one we call Spotted Deer. It's part of an existing DNR mining site. They've already gotten approval for that expansion. It just didn't get on the map, so we're proposing to add it, and the Planning Commission agreed with that. 12, 13, and 14 are commonly referred to as the Livingston Mountain area. This is where the majority of the testimony and controversy came in. It doesn't probably help to look at this because this is the Planning Commission's recommendation. But if you see on this map over here, there were three separate areas that were recommended by the Mineral Lands Task Force to get the surface mining overlay in the vicinity of the existing quarries. The smallest one on the right-hand side we're referring to as Washdot, as they apparently own the parcel. Its only access is off Livingston Mountain Road. And it was part of a larger area where the resource showed up on the map. The Mineral Lands Task Force recommended eliminating the northern portion of that parcel. Due to access considerations and a stream that crosses through that property. We asked our traffic engineers to take a look at Livingston Road to see whether it would be suitable for gravel trucks and trailers, and they came back with a report saying it would not due to the steep corners, sharp corners, steep hill, and narrow pavement. You couldn't take a truck and trailer around those curves without getting into the oncoming lane. So based on that information, as well as other testimony received from property owners out there, the Planning Commission recommended eliminating all these areas, both the areas that would access, whose only access was from Livingston Road. So that would include what we're referring to as 13 and 14. The remaining area under discussion then was to the north and slightly west of the existing mine. Number 12. I'm calling it Little Baldy Mountain because even though these are called Livingston Mountain Quarries. Livingston Mountain's over here, and Little Baldy is just directly north of there. So, whatever you want to call it, it's number 12. Quite a bit of discussion on that, and in the end, the Planning Commission recommended removing it from the surface mining overlay, but having our traffic engineers do some analysis of the roads system that accesses that area, and we have that analysis in your packet. I think it's possible to read it either way, but it was generally favorable. There was some concern about site distance in the situation of a vehicle traveling eastbound and stopping to turn left onto 262nd, the vehicles following it would not have very good stopping site distance, something on the order of 300 feet as they come around the corner. they could be faced with a stopped vehicle, and so there that was the primary issue there. I think there was also some issues about left turns out of that site for a truck and trailer getting up to speed, and also left turns at the intersection of Riley Road and Blair. Yeah, thank you. Because sight distance to the left is not adequate to really, you're basically taking a guess that you're going to get out there. Although their sight distance measurements were done from a vehicle 3.5 foot height rather than a large truck height, which would give you a little bit longer sight distance there. So those were the conclusions of the traffic analysis. And the only remaining site was an existing mine at Washougal Pit, which had formerly been given a special designation because it was in the Columbia River Gorge Scenic Area. We're just combining that, eliminating that special designation, and giving it a surface mining overlay.
Mike, on the area just in the north of Washougal, and also the area up near a little baldy, the large chunk. Tell me the difference between the kind of the ugly green and the white upper, in that upper northwest corner of it. It looks like an area is being suggested to be taken out of the existing. Is that?
Oh, this.
What is that?
Okay, all of this is Camp Bonneville, or part of Camp Bonneville, which currently has the surface mining overlay. That's why it's crosshatched. All of the darker area is being taken out, because
so the only part being left in is
this part was left in at the request of the property owner.
That one right there.
Right.
Okay.
So basically, we contacted the property owners of everyone who had the current surface mining overlay. Some responded and said we want to continue to have it. Some did not. And so it's coming off in all the darker areas.
Got it. I've had it backwards.
Yeah. Okay. Any questions, discussion about the map proposals, the Planning Commission recommendations in that regard?
When it comes to the long-term availability of the rock for the county, I expect that we have limitations that are put upon us by the state that says you must protect these resources, and they define them as limited, critical, precious. What is the possibility, likelihood, that these eliminations are going to be challenged by the state or by the DNR?
Pretty likely. I think we'd have to demonstrate that we have continued to maintain a long-term supply. I mean, it's really difficult to put a number on how much we can show, how much we've used year by year over the last few years, and guesstimate how much is available. But essentially, the sand and gravel business is done in Clark County, other than along the Lewis River. The Section 30 and all the producers around the city of Vancouver have been covered up with urban development, and so they've transitioned to barging in from Boardman and St. Helens and other locations. So our sand and gravel is basically being imported these days. So what we're talking about is quarry rock, and there are, as you could see, a couple of approved existing quarries, and there's a fairly long-term supply there, but it's obviously not going to last forever. And we heard quite a bit of testimony saying, "Well, wait a minute, you need to quantify this." And it's in the statute that you need to do some kind of analysis or say something about the supply. The state can't create rock by statute, but they can tell us we have to protect the rock that we've identified.
Did the DNR participate in any of these hearings? And I don't see a representative here today.
They have participated via email, and you will be getting a letter from DNR before the hearing. I think they have concerns about the amount of land that's under their control and ownership that they have assumed would be available for rock production, from which they receive revenues that gets passed on to school districts. So they do have concerns. They just haven't been as vociferous, and they don't come down from Olympia for planning commission hearings, basically. So I've encouraged them to get more involved. You'll get something.
If they do end up legally challenging this map, is it our own prosecuting attorney's office that basically takes this side and supports? Actually, at this point, it would be the commissioner's decision, right? Planning commission is simply advisory to the commissioners.
That's correct, commissioners. And Chris is here, but if we are challenged, then the board will make a decision. To have Chris and the county PS defend our work.
I think I have any concern to think that the massive of acreage that we have, that the term that we're out of aggregate, I find that hard to accept. Also, in the map that you have out there, it seems like there's an arching map around the around the outside of the county almost, when it seems like there must be something inside that doesn't impact homes or farms. And then it's also my understanding that even though it's not here, somebody can apply for a mining permit, and at that time we would review it. And all permits are conditional use permits.
Well, there are two things. They're not all conditional use permits, but the mining activity is permitted within the surface mining overlay. So you would, if somebody wanted to mine an area that's not on the surface mining overlay, they'd have to first apply it to change the map and go through an approval process for that. It would be a comp plan amendment, and then they'd have to apply to do mining. And mining itself is permitted use, but rock crushing and asphalt plants and concrete plants are conditional uses thus far, and that's the recommendation, that continue in the Planning Commission recommendations, which we'll get to.
I would tend to think that any mining operation could be a conditional use permit, even though we designate it here, that each one would have special impacts upon our community and would need to be addressed. But we still have that option.
You certainly have the option of making mining completely a conditional use permit.
Right.
It might make things simpler, frankly.
Chris, go ahead.
It would be a code amendment, but since most mines usually, rarely does a mine create rock without crushing it or using it in some fashion. So there, in the vast majority of cases, when we review one, we review the other. So to make it all a conditional use, I think, as Mike said, might make some sense, but that's not the current code. Right. So understand we would need to amend the code. But yes, it could be done, and certainly your argument or your comment about the fact that they had to, that there may be a need to address impacts on a site-specific basis is certainly one that the neighbors would share, but that's a determination for the board. Commissioner Madure asked me a separate question regarding the DNR determination of rock that is available and the county's determination about our preserving or maintaining that resource. Under growth management, we do have an obligation to preserve resources. Up till now, the state hasn't been as active with regard to mining as a resource as it has in the areas of timber and agriculture. I think largely because it's been less known, or at least the information was probably not as good. But I think it's becoming more active. So we'll interact with the state to the extent we disagree. There are certainly factors the county is entitled to consider as we set aside these properties. In the same way, if agricultural land is imminently near a city boundary or uses that are so incompatible, it makes it unfeasible for the county to use that for its stated purpose. Those are factors the board is entitled to consider. And the same is true with natural resource land that's used for surface mining. If you try to mine right now in Section 30, if you're familiar with where that is, out in East County, there's so much residential development right now that if you were to try and start a new mine there, you wouldn't get past the hearings examiner, much less through all the appeals that it would include. So we certainly can take those into consideration. We'll work with DNR to get through those, but historically it's not been as much of an issue. It may be more as we go forward. And then on the difference that Commissioner Mielke had on sand and gravel, and it's available in the county, I think there might be a terminology issue. We historically have brought sand in, not as the residue or the remainder from rock crushing, but from the rivers and streams. And so you have places like Fazio, I was going to say, that's in East County, that has historically brought in a good share of the sand for the county. And as those areas are beginning to be used up, you find more and more sand coming in from other areas. I hope I answered your question.
I do have another question. We're focusing on the map that basically says, are we going to accept these overlay areas as presented or recommended by the Planning Commission? Does the agenda that's before us also include the changes, potential changes in policies to have that define permits and what process you need to do in order to license these areas?
Exactly. That's
yes.
what we're so ready to move on to when you
are necessarily connected. Let me break this into two different pieces. Focus on the map as one action item and then define the processes as a separate.
We are planning on discussing the policies and the development regulation next, because it was done simultaneously with the consideration of the map, because that dictates then what policies and what development regulations apply going forward. Yes, my mic is on.
Oh.
Yes.
So the Planning Commission held two hearings on the map, had a work session on the policies and code, and then had two lengthy work sessions on the policies and code. And so we're summarizing the map part is... I'm done with that if you're ready to move on to the policies and code.
Okay. I just want to make sure that we're aware of the option, if there be an option, to either combine these two steps or handle them separately. So whatever you... We do have the freedom to separate it if we want to, right?
Right.
Yes, the board has the legal ability if we want to break those up and handle them separately, but... To the extent, well, I think Michael's already addressed why they combine them, but you have the ability to separate them if you choose.
We're getting there. You're next.
Right.
You ready to get into it? That's what's the next slide. I guess I'm still struggling with some of the things that were omitted because of road infrastructure. Anything that we do to make it more difficult to do mining is going to come at a pretty good cost to the citizens of Clark County. And it seems like if you have conditional uses on some of the questionable areas, that you can address the concerns of the people living there, the people that travel the road, and it can be done. It's like the same thing with any other environmental issue. It's living within or living with the wild animals or anything else. So I'm concerned when we say that we take things off consideration because of traffic or road conditions. That's something that can be fixed, especially when we've eliminated so many possible sites. So I have concern there. So what you're talking about moving forward now is to do what?
To talk about the Planning Commission recommendations with regard to policy and code.
It was the process of going through.
Oh, okay.
Nothing to do with map. We can turn the screen off and ignore it. Okay.
Yeah.
So, towards the back, past all the traffic studies, is the Planning Commission recommendations on policies and code. And I also included the draft material that they were given, which showed a number of options. So let me just walk through how we got here. The Planning Commission was aware that there was a lot of concern about, first of all, changing from a Type 3 to a Type 4 to a Type 3 process to add or remove the surface mining overlay. Lots of different issues in terms of standards and codes and to whom they would be applied. So they asked staff to draft a set of recommendations, both for policies and codes. And we did so. And then we put those out to the public and got a lot of feedback in written form, including recommendations for specific language changes. We took each one of those recommendations for specific language changes and put them all in one document so that the Planning Commission could look at each policy and code section and all of the alternatives that had been proposed. So there would be the staff recommendation was one, and then there would be alternatives and who proposed it and what specific language they proposed. That gave them the tools they needed to fairly quickly walk through step by step each policy and code section. And they did so in their December 5th hearing through a series of votes section by section. Some were 5-0, some were 3-2. There was a lot of back and forth discussion. But the document that you have dated Planning Commission recommendations to the Board of County Commissioners December 5th is what they ended up with. It's all in bold.
Those are all the changes.
Those are their recommendations to you. Yes. If you want to see what choices they have to work with, that would be the next document towards the end of the packet.
I've got kind of a leftover question from your first part, having to do with the map. About how many years, do we have an idea? How many years the existing quarries are going to be able to operate before they run out of material and cease operations? And that's one question. One question two is, are any of the quarries asking to expand at this time at all?
Commissioner, some did ask, some property owners did ask for expansion, and some want the overlay removed. To get to the other question, and others can chime in, mining operations sometimes have a lifespan of 50 years or more. So with that, if you apply the overlay to some other areas, you may experience that same lifetime time of 50 years or over. And those that are in the industry will probably speak more to the fact that hence they have their mining rights from the state. Sometimes it never terminates. So, and then they have the opportunity when they exhaust the resources to go through reclamation and so forth. But mining has, in short, a long lifetime in terms of operation if the aggregate resource is still in place.
Once a permit is granted to a quarry, is that an open-ended permit, or is there some renewal times that need to?
It's essentially open-ended. They have to pay an annual fee to DNR for their reclamation permit. But from the county's perspective, we don't terminate a mine until the reclamation is complete.
Right.
Okay. So from that, I'll assume that a mining operation, once started, would continue as long as they want to unless some legal action said that you didn't live up to your obligations and therefore you can't continue because it's irresponsible.
I will assume that unless Chris has something to add.
Livingston Mountain was originally opened in 1947, if that tells you anything. It hasn't operated continuously, but it goes way back.
Yeah, I assume that none of the policies that are being considered today really have to do with the consequences of non-compliance, adding more teeth or enforcement or anything like that, right? This has to do with what are the qualifications for getting started.
Actually, that was one of the larger controversies, and the recommendation from Citizens Allied, well, several of the citizens group, was that the policies and the standards have more teeth and have more enforcement, and that the board take a greater action in terms of organizing staff in such a way that there were people specifically whose job was to do enforcement. We don't have anybody who's a mining permit enforcement person. It's sort of scattered around amongst planners, code enforcement people. It could be call out the sheriff. It could be any number of different parties. Unlike in the forest resources realm, you have one go-to guy. You know who to call, and he'll take care of it. He'll find the right people or find the right person. So that was one of the stronger contentions. I think the Planning Commission in that was had mixed opinions, but came down on in the direction of, we don't control resources. We know that this is going to take resources. It's going to be up to the board to decide what they want to do, but we're going to recommend taking out sort of the stronger enforcement package of policies and code standards. And leave it up to the board to decide what they want to do.
And I assume that's separated into two different categories. One is a category that talks about the ordinances, the licenses, that kind of thing, and that's defined by separately from the enforcement, how we organize and oversee the continued operation. That's more like internal operations, right? That's not normally defined by ordinance.
Right. I think there's the operational enforcement part. One of the recommendations that we heard from Citizen Group was that we have a process that requires an annual recertification or an annual renewal of mining permits so that you have an opportunity to stop and hear from people, how is this affecting your life? Are the conditions of approval being met from, you know, and everybody gets another chance to say their piece. There are some legal issues with that. I think there are some practical issues with that. You can't have a hearing every time, every year. You approve the thing through a hearing, and then we may have to create some kind of a process that works for the county specifically.
Are any of the proposed changes to this code, do they fall into the category of teeth or review or renewals?
I think I would direct you to the recommendations that were made in the November version. So you have alternatives proposed by Calm and by others, saying here's how we think this should work, and many of those were approved, some were rejected by the Planning Commission.
Okay. So I have just a legal question, a practical question. The legal question is for the policy changes. We talk about the map and the policy changes as two separate pieces, but from a legal standpoint, in standing up to appeal, it would seem that having policies, having policy to preserve the resource would be important to justify the map. If we pick a map out of the air without a justification of policy behind it, then it would seem to me that we would be suspect, that we would be open to some liability potentially on that. And so that's my legal question, is in in using both of these pieces, would both of these pieces moving forward together help us sustain an appeal?
I think you're correct, Commissioner, for two reasons. Both from the basis of including properties and excluding properties, because the hearings boards have been very strong on showing your work, and the policies show why somebody's in, why somebody's out, and the particular facts that were considered as a part of those. So it makes a good deal of sense to keep the two together, to keep them linked.
Okay, and then the second question is a practical one, and just kind of going through this, do the policy changes that are recommended map to, or do they align with the map that is being proposed? So could I look at these policy changes and without even seeing the map, if somebody brought me an individual site that has been recommended to be removed, I could look at these policies and say, yeah, here's the site, based on the policies that we have here, this one would be removed. Do they align?
I think they're fairly well aligned.
Yes.
And in concert. I don't know that you could go a step by step. Here's exactly, we can't say that we applied these criteria in doing the map because we did them out of order. But there was, whenever there was a conflict between a recommendation that the Planning Commission made in terms of the map and one in terms of the policies, we said, wait a minute. You got to decide which way you're going to go here. You can't have it both ways.
Okay.
And so I feel like they're fairly well aligned.
Going back to your original point, though, as far as saying, well, because they were done out of order, it would seem to me that they would need to align, that our policies would need to align with the map that we choose, just like we do with any comp plan. You know, you have to have the policies, you know, our map should match the policies. So just an analysis of the alignment before we go to, as we go to hearing, I'd look, like, what might be, is there any discrepancy? It sounds like there's not much. It sounds like it's pretty well aligned. But just mapping that out for us, no pun intended, just making sure that we do know where it's aligned and where we might need to make a slight adjustment would be helpful.
Yeah, I think if you look at the rationale that the Planning Commission used and you look at the first three, four policies here, you will find no conflict there.
Right.
Just a quick review of the policies. And some of these are carryovers from the existing, but some of them are new. First one is basically a statement to support the WAC. The second one is...
You're looking at page...
I'm page one of the Planning Commission recommendations. So there's not a series of... It's all in bold.
Yeah. December 5th?
December 5th on top.
Okay.
Okay. The second policy, 352, is some general criteria for designation. And you'll note that it includes land use, zoning, parcel size, and suitability of public access roads. The third one talks about minimizing and mitigating adverse impacts on fish and wildlife and nearby land uses. Fourth one has...
Instead of going through all these right now, something that we could do as we study this. So my question for the December 5th, these are all new additions, not changes.
We basically threw out and we started all... Rather than show underline and cross out, there was enough of a change, we just said start all over. Here's what it's going to look like. Because otherwise it would be extraordinarily confusing.
And then the second portion, then, you decide to go back and underline the addition.
Only in the last case where there was we're showing you what section was eliminated for 4026.120. So that's where we used an underlined format, and then in 4260.220. There's only two words being added, so we use the underlined format in that case.
So, in the consistency of it, anything being underlined is removed, and then crossed off.
Anything crossed off is removed, anything underlined is added.
That's right.
We have just a few more minutes. Do you have any questions from the commission?
Just information as we get to here.
I would like to give the unanswered questions from people who are here, and then we only have about 5 minutes to do that. Oliver?
Yeah, Commissioners, I want to bring to your attention too, and maybe Chris can speak to that. There was an appeal filed on the CEPA, and I believe that the board received that. That appeal is contingent on the action of the board. The reason I bring it up is that the board, and Chris can chime in, the board can have a separate hearing, if you like, to consider the appeal, or consider the appeal when you go to a hearing simultaneously with the map, the policies. How that will be the call of the board. But I just want to make sure that you are aware that we have an appeal on this.
Anything else from staff?
I'd just like to note that on page 2, what you have is new language, which are criteria for surface mining overlay changes. This would be in the procedure section. Currently, there's no written out language that says, in addition to policies, here's the criteria you apply when adding or removing surface mining overlay. Instead, we are using this matrix that's in kind of hidden in the comp plan that has a was created back in the 70s by the Mineral Lands Task Force that kind of shaded to here's where you really must, here's where you really should apply it, here's where you really shouldn't apply it, and then all the gray areas in between. And they listed a lot of the same criteria, and it was more of a lean this way, lean that way kind of approach. And it was fine for the time being, but it was intended to be interim. And since the statutes changed back in 2010, some of those criteria are no longer applicable or even legal to apply. So we thought it'd be more sensible to put it in language, put it in the code where one would normally look for it.
So I think what I hear from Commissioner Stewart is that until we actually decide on a process or make almighty conditional use, we're kind of playing along out here until we recognize those things to help us make that decision. And we would do that by saying, of all the things being considered right now, does that meet a standard process? And each one could adversely affect an area and therefore could be a consideration for a conditional use permit. Is that right?
Well, it's just creating the foundations for it through the policies. So creating the foundations for the decisions we make on the map through our policies and whatever those decisions may be, we have most of that information. I just said, we need to kind of just match it up and make sure, all right, does it match with what we think the policy should be that ends up creating a map?
Sure, I think it's really important that the citizens have an opportunity to specifically inform the commissioners as to what they would like people to see potentially changed. These documents will end up on our grid, so we can go to this date, we can look at this work session, we can find these documents. The feedback to us, if it comes in the form of generalities, we don't like this, we don't like that, we can't really translate that very well into specific improvements. So if you really want to have your voice heard and end up fine-tuning this to the point where it's really going to make it tangibly better, the more specific you can be, the better. So you can, for instance, you can say this one document, item number so-and-so, it says this, it would be better, I recommend it would say that. And that would help us to be able to actually translate that into reality and make it a better document.
I have just a few more minutes. There's nothing else from staff. I'd like to open it up for a question from anybody that would like to ask a question as we wrap up. So, does anybody have a question that has not been answered, or something, a question or a statement of what we should be looking at as we move forward?
Yes. question. In the recommendation from the Planning Commission, the specific enforcement provisions that were thrown out altogether, there was a whole section that was thrown out. The Planning Commission turned it over to staff for their draft of enforcement provisions, and that says here that staff will be providing for you to look at, because that's exactly the decision. Will those be provided prior to any hearings, or will there be another work session dealing with that? Because that really is kind of the meat of the mining code provision. I think that's what the citizens are looking for on that piece. There really are multiple pieces to any policy, but that the comp plan, which deals with the map, which I think is your first step that I hear you talking about, and then you have your code provisions, and then you've got a portion of the map, which it almost seems to be broken into three pieces.
I think the simple answer is I obviously see more work sessions as we go through each process or conditional use that might be considered, if you consider that at all. Back here.
The question was raised whether the board might split this process. I point out that the Planning Commission actually held three hearings on this, and in addition to multiple working sessions. You can appreciate how complex it is. So my question is, when might you decide whether to split the process?
I think we would probably decide that probably at a board meeting or another work session. And I think it's a work project in place as we move forward. We want to do it right, and we want to make sure that we also have aggregate. So it's definitely a work in progress, and everything is still ongoing and up in the air as we see it today.
We'll have to break it. There will be a little bit that we'll probably have to break up, but I think the conversation we were having and why I was asking legal is the policy and the map need to go together. From a practical and legal standpoint, the policy and the map pieces need to go together. Then the question is, with regards to the development regulations and the enforcement regulations, can those be broken up into two separate pieces beyond the policy and map? Because when you talk about confidence, that's right. Policy and map is what comp plan, and then you have development regulations and enforcement behind that that implement those things. So the question would be, do we need to break those pieces out? And just due to the size of all of this, you know, it's probably likely, but that's something that we'll have to discuss, like Commissioner Mokey was saying, at a board work session or at a board meeting to figure out, all right, how do we need to break these other two pieces up? Is it something that we can move through?
Yeah,
I'm wondering about the extent of your research in reference to potential mining areas. For instance, up there on March Mountain, I know that there was some kind of a quarry years ago, and whether that has been considered as a possible quarry site. It would be away from the residential area. I lived in the Livingston Mountain area. It would be completely away from that, probably. Access, you go down to Four Corners and then go on over into Hockinson. Your road route is pretty convenient. You do have a very steep hill, if you remember, going into the Hockinson area. But I would encourage some further research of that area. I don't know what you've done.
There's lots, Mike, maybe you can tell folks just quickly, how did they get the original, you know, the original potential service mining overlay areas? Where, you know, where did we get those and get that information?
The legislature gave us a special appropriation to Department of Natural Resources, Division of Geology, to gather all information in the universe about Clark County aggregate, everything from well records to geologic studies, and put it all in one place. And they came up with a classification system of five different levels of aggregate, three for hard rock, three for sand and gravel, and in terms of the known quantities and known qualities of aggregate. So that was a map that we started out with, And after several meetings, we had a public section that we heard loud and clear, we're not interested in you putting this surface mining overlay on a large swaths of the county just because you can. We want all our five property protected and removed. We want you to limit it in many different ways. And essentially, we had to do that in a methodical way, not just pick and choose. So we recommended eliminating the layers that included hypothetical and speculative resources and just focusing on the known identified resource areas. And in terms of Larch Mountain, I've shot up there. I don't think there's any rock left. Otherwise, they'd probably still be mining.
So the state didn't give us a map showing Larch as a possibility?
I'd have to go back and look.
Right.
We can do that.
Yeah.
Yes, we can do that.
We can do that.
One more.
As a member of the task force, I would recommend that. Would it be prudent to have the commissioners interview the task force to put the map together to start with and find out what our directives were, how we came about that map before we jump into anything else? There was a lot of, we spent a lot of time on that. And I'm highly frustrated on it right now because what we did doesn't project on that map right there. We had a certain set of guidelines that were was at the meetings, and we tried to follow them through the letter. It was a 100% consensual vote when everything was put on that map. And so there was no agenda. It was built using a set of guidelines. And as it sits right now, what came back from the Planning Commission is the map is useless.
Did you guys put a report together that I haven't seen it? I mean, as far as here's what we thought.
Especially on the DNR property, that was the only one that really had massive data.
Information.
But just kind of the process. And I'm sorry. Do you have something that says here's what we looked at, and here's what we did?
The matrix that we used to develop the grading on the property.
Can we get that? All that
the other thing that I see is not coming out of this was the fact that at that meeting, Mike, tell me if I'm wrong or not, was that we wanted to develop a program that was easy to get on and easy to get off.
And I think that's probably where we'll go if we work our way through a process to allow mining to happen, but not diminish any conditions or quality of life for anybody else. It's a balancing point. All right.
Commissioners, can I make a comment?
Yes.
I too was on that committee and I went to every session that was held. This gentleman over here only went to less than half of them, and I'd say his description is not accurate as to how and what we did. And everybody was very conscientious about it.
How many was on your task force?
About seven.
Yeah.
About seven.
Seven, but seven. One or two rarely showed up.
Right.
Yeah. One more, that's it.
Question on the task force, who was representing the mining industry?
There were several.
Probably this gentleman here.
Several.
I'd like to know if it represented the community or did it represent the mining industry?
There was a mix. There was a cross section on the task force.
I think the key thing to remember was that
that doesn't represent the industry. I can tell you that much.
There were probably more industry people than others, but everything was done by consensus. So if anybody stood up and said, "I can't live with this," we would stop and it wouldn't go forward.
All right.
I think a lot of people had a change of heart afterwards.
Yeah, it's a learning process for everybody.
Right.
Thanks.
One point.
Out of time.
If you want to be informed and stay tuned in with this, and I would say go to our website, clark.wa.gov. On that home page is a button that says the grid. It'll look up that date. This work session will be there. And we'll include all the documentation that are relevant to this to be informative to you. And then you can email us your specific recommendations to help us to do a better job.
So we're truly in a information gathering mode. I'm going to move forward. I look forward to spending some designated time, quite a bit of time, hopefully to even visit sites and open the interviews. So that being said, I want to thank everybody for coming today and stay in touch with us. Thank you.
Chris.
Thank you.
Chris.
Sure.
Oh, thank you. Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
I'm not sure what the PC board wants to do.
Chris.